Genesis chapter number 13. I'll begin reading in verse number 5. We're going to look today at the cost of a selfish decision. A selfish decision is what Lot made that day here. In Genesis chapter number 13, I'll begin reading here in verse number 5. Genesis 13, verse 5 says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Hey, the cost of a selfish decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, I am grateful again to be here behind Your podium and preaching Your Word, Lord. But I do need You. I pray, Lord, now in the name of Jesus that You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, You use me. I pray, Lord, You give me boldness and clarity of thought and wisdom here to preach Your Word. And I pray, Lord, You do what only You can do, and that is to speak of the hearts of those here today. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for what You do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, life is full of choices. You get that? We all make choices every single day of our lives. Even coming to church today, you made a choice to come to church, or you made a choice to not to come to church. But either way, you made a choice. And some of these choices we make in life are good. Some of them start out good and end very tragic. Now, one of the most tragic stories in the Bible is here in our text, dealing with a man by the name of Lot. When Lot and Abraham parted ways that day in Canaan, the Bible tells us that Lot journeyed eastward. Right? He looked and he saw all the plains. They were well watered. They were green. All the pasture land that his cattle would need to eat. And so Lot made the decision that day to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Okay? Meaning he was facing Sodom. He wasn't in Sodom. He was just overlooking at it. He was looking at it. He made the decision that day to pitch his tent towards Sodom. He was on the outskirts of Sodom. He was looking in. He could hear everything. He could see everything going on. And he could hear the bright lights of Sodom. He could see the bright lights of Sodom. He could hear the loud music portraying everywhere in the city. He could see and hear it all. And Lot made the decision that day to go by what his eyes could see only. You see, what about the things Lot didn't see? You think about that? What about the things Lot didn't see? You see, Lot never thought about those things he couldn't see. We know Lot wasn't a very godly man. He wasn't a separated Christian. We know he didn't have any standards. But you would think, living with Abraham, he would have learned a thing or two, right? He would have learned how to have a walk with the Lord, but he didn't. And so as Lot is like a figure here in the Bible to give us an example, we can look at Lot and we can say Lot is like so many of us here today. You see, Lot was living for the here and now. He was living for today. He was living for only what Lot could see that day. A lot like you and I. I talk to a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people don't look past today. They don't think about what's going to happen to them when they take their last breath. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about eternity. All they can see is what is right in front of their face, the here and the now. But Lot made a choice that day to pitch his tent towards Sodom, but it was what Lot did not see that cost him dearly. You see, Lot didn't see the fact that he would lose his home. He didn't see the fact that he would lose his wealth, his family, his friends. He didn't see the fact that he would lose it all that day. That's the reality with Lot. You see, he lost everything the day he made the decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Now, a decision that doesn't necessarily seem to be bad. I mean, he looked there and he saw all those grassland. He saw the water for the cattle to eat. But let me tell you, Lot made the worst decision he could make that day. And we're going to look at this here. So today, let's look at the cost of a selfish decision. First of all, I want you to see here that it cost him his friends. All right, it cost him his friends. We'll see that in verses 5 through 9, but I want you to look here at verses 8 and 9. There it says, "Then Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." You see, when Lot's father Haran died, Abram took Lot in and raised him just like he was one of his own sons. But as we can see, Lot didn't pay much attention to the spiritual side of things, did he? God had blessed them both with cattle, with herd, with wealth. But now their success has led to a problem, and there is strife. There is difference. There is quarrels. They are fighting between the herdsmen. And instead of making peace, Lot decides to go his own separate way. He decides to leave his godly mentor and go off on his own. Proverbs 24:6 says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." You see, the world's wisdom, right? The bright lights, the big city, the world's wisdom, the world's wealth, it seems to be satisfying, right? So many people are running to it. So many people are perishing every day, dying and dropping off into hell, all because they're searching for what we can see in front of our eyes, what we can see and feel and touch right here today. But let me tell you, all of the world's wealth, all of the world's wisdom leads one place, and that's to death. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, many people will go about life and they'll lose godly friends because of pride. You see, Lot had some pride here. They'll lose godly friends because of selfishness or even an unwillingness to resolve conflict, as we can see here in Lot. In Proverbs 30, verse 20, the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You see, Lot made a decision that day to leave his wise counsel. He made a decision that day to leave wise and godly friends, and then he went off and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot walked away from it all that day. Now, how many people do you know who say, "Hey, I'm going to go over here because the grass is greener"? Hey, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? I'm going to go over there because the grass is greener over there, only to find out when they've left all the good things behind, all the godly counsel, they've left the Lord behind, and they find out that the grass wasn't so much greener on the other side. Now, how many people do you know that say, "Hey, if we'd only have thought that through. Hey, if I only would have prayed about that decision before I jumped in. Hey, if I only would have sought the Lord's will, not only what I could see in front of me, but if I would have looked and saw at those things that I can't see, those things down the road, if I would have only saw those things."
You see, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Lot made a decision that day, a very selfish decision, and it cost him his friends. But secondly, I want you to see here that it cost him his fellowship. It cost him his fellowship. Look there in verses 10 and 11. There it says, "Then Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other." You see here, Lot is out of place. There in verse 10, it says, like the land of Egypt. Now, he's beginning to compare Sodom to the land of Egypt. You see, Lot here is at war with Abraham because, in a sense, Lot is at war with himself. There's a struggle going on here, and Lot is at war with himself because he's at war with God. He's fighting a battle against the flesh and against God and against what his eyes can see. The Bible tells us there's only three kinds of people in this world. There's the carnal man, right? Or the natural man. He's the unsaved man. Then there's the carnal man. That's the saved man who's living in the flesh, living in the world. And then there is the spirit man, the spiritual man, the one that's devoted to God. And in Genesis chapter 13, we have all of those here. We have the wicked men of Sodom. We have Lot, who is a saved man. Yes, Lot is a saved man. Right? We read the account of Lot. There's no way Lot's a saved man. But turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible tells us Lot is a saved man, but we also see here the spiritual man is Abraham. Look here in 2 Peter chapter number 2 in verses 7 and 8. In 2 Peter, that's all the way back towards the end, right before 1 John. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 7 and 8, it says here, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You see, the only proof that we have that Lot is a saved man, right there. The Bible tells us he is a righteous man before the Lord. He is a saved man. But we read the Bible and we say, there's no way this man could be saved, right? But the Word of God tells us he's a carnal man. He is a man that's living for the flesh. He is a man that's living for the world. And he's in here in the Bible as an example, as a warning to us. We see here that Lot could not walk with Abraham because Abraham was a friend of God, but Lot was a friend of the world. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible gives us this. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Listen, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You can't snuggle up to the world and love God too and try to snuggle up with Him. It does not work that way. He says if you love the world, the Bible says if you love the world, you're an enemy of God. We get that. If you walk with the world, you lose all fellowship with the Lord. We see in Genesis chapter 13 that Lot only pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was only looking into Sodom. But you look into Genesis chapter 14 and verse 12, he was living in Sodom. So it didn't take very long once he started looking before he moved in. And then in Genesis chapter 19, he is sitting at the gate. He is sitting at the gate of Sodom, which is meaning he has a position of leadership. He has a position of authority within the city. He has a good job. Amen. That's all I want for my kids. I want them to have a good job. A good job and make lots of money. Amen. Well, that's a bad thing to say. Right? We think, oh, that's a great thing. But no, that's a bad thing to say. And Lot's an example to us. You see, Lot had a good job. He had a good paycheck. But it cost him everything. It cost him everything when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Yeah, he had influence. He had power. He had wealth. He had status. But he lost something far greater. He lost the righteous fellowship with his friends, with his family, and with the Lord. Lot made a decision that day only on what he could see. He never considered the things he did not see. or he could not see. Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 33, he says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, Lot may have gained friends in Sodom, but they weren't the ones that were going to have a walk with the Lord and bring him closer to the Lord. You see, it's very important when we're out in the world who we snuggle up with, who we get close with, who we become friends with, okay? Yeah, we want to go to the world and we want to win the world and we want to win them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we got to be careful where we go and who we become friends with and who we become really intimate with, okay? The Bible warns us that we're to be separate from them. We're to come out from among them, okay? Hey, I'm just saying this. The friends Lot made there in Sodom were not going to bring him closer to the Lord. They were not going to give him a walk with the Lord. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, there towards the end of the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 2, we have another warning about this. And remember, as we're going through this, remember, Lot is a saved man. Lot is a man that's going to heaven when he dies. But over and over again, the Bible is giving us warnings about this present world that we're living in. We're not to snuggle up with it. We're not to love this present world. You know, we're only passing through. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Hey, one day we'll take our last breath here. And if you're saved, you're going to go off into eternity. You're going to open your eyes and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But the warning is here for us today. We're not to love the world. In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15, get this. I want you to see it. He says, love not the what? The world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, we have this flesh on us. We have this old man in us. We have the bright lights in the big city, and we have the devil who knows how to appease man. He's been deceiving man for a long, long time, and he knows how to get us, right? But the Bible warns us, love not the world. Hey, this flesh, this sinful flesh, is lured in, just like Lot was lured into those bright lights in the big city. We have that same temptation today. If you don't walk with the Lord, you will fall just like Lot. Go on here. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Man, we just want more things. Why is that? Lost people hoard things, get things. Christians want to hoard things and get more things and more things and more things. The Bible warns us we're not to love those things that are in the world. They're going to burn up. They're going to die. They're going to go away. All right? You hoard them up, and when you take your last breath, somebody else comes along and throws them away. Right? All that time, effort, and money you spent. He says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ooh, those are strong words. But that's in the Bible. That's what God says. Hey, if you love this world, he says, the love of the Father is not in you. In verse 16, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is not a home. We're just passing through, right? We're not to yoke up with all these things in the world and love these things more than we love God. We're not to let these things come in between our relationship with God. We're not to let those things keep us out of church. When we assemble, we are to assemble. You see, Lot loved the world, and he compromised his righteous soul with God for the sake of some wealth. And it's sad because even today we have worldly-minded Christians that will do anything to make a buck. They'll do anything to make a buck, but the Bible tells us that nobody can love this world and serve God like he should. Hey, turn over to Colossians from a GE phone company, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 3. I want you to see here verses 5 and 6. Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, look there in verses 5 and 6 here. The Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and is what I want you to get. And covetousness, which is idolatry. You see that? Covetousness. When we covet things, money, things, that's idolatry. And he says in verse 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You see, when we covet things, he says there that idolatry, well, we know idolatry is image worship, but if covetousness is idolatry, it's saying that money is the god of people guilty of greed. But when we idolize something, when we covet things, if we covet money, right? Just like Lot, he coveted things. He looked, he saw, he wanted it. He pitched his tent. Before long, he was living there. But those that put money first, a job first, business first, are on the way to ruin. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil, the love of money. Right? Hey, we need money to live, yes, but we're not to love it. We're not to hoard it. Money should be coming in and going out to serve the Lord. Coming in, going out to serve the Lord, to further the gospel. Right? Not to hoard up in our barns and see, hey, we got to tear these barns down and build bigger barns. No, we're to use it to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know what you're thinking, preacher. I know. You're thinking, hey, a man has to live, right? Hey, I got to live. I understand. You know, before I got saved, I had it all planned out. I did. You know, when I retired from the military, I had me a fund. I called it my boat fund, but it was really for a boat and all kinds of other things. You know, and I had, when I retired, I had all this where, hey, the Lord changed all that, right? Hey, amen, He did. Praise the Lord, He did. But hey, look, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, we have to work. Yeah, we have to work. We have to make a living. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Here's the truth of the matter. We all don't have to live, but we all do have to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed on the men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, heaven or hell is at stake. Right now, heaven or hell is at stake. People are dropping off into hell right now, every second. Every second, people are going off into hell, and what are we doing about it? Are we hoarding up the money in our barns? What are we doing about it? You see, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, it's heaven or hell. Where are you going? Heaven or hell, where are you going? You see, Jesus already paid the penalty for your sin. Sin has separated us from God, but He already paid the penalty on that cross. When He shed His blood and died for the sin debt of all mankind, He was buried and He rose again the third day, victorious over sin, victorious over the grave. So have you received Him as your Savior? The Bible says that as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, you got to make a choice. Yeah, we all have to live, but here's the thing, we all will die one day. When we all go out to eternity, it's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no second chances. You got to make the decisions right here, right now, before it's too late. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, if you're trying to be a good person, not going to happen. Hey, if you say I've been baptized and I'm going to heaven, not going to happen. Hey, if I donate all my money to the church, it's still not going to happen. Hey, I am a member, get this. I am a member, preacher, of every Baptist church there is in Macon, Georgia. Still not getting you to heaven, my friend. You got to be born again. That's Jesus said. He says, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born of God. You see, that day for me was 38 years old. The day that I knew I was a sinner going to die and go to hell. You see, before I knew all that up here. It was all in my head. But at 38 years old, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I needed to be saved. Convicted me in my heart that, hey, I was going to die and go to hell, but I didn't want to go. So I just took God at His word. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the choice is yours. He wants to give you the gift. Yes, we all must live, but yes,
we all must die. And eternity is a long, long, long time to be wrong, my friend. It is a long time to be wrong.
In Psalm chapter 37, in verse number 25, the Bible says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Before you go and decide to buy that lake property that'll keep you out of church, hey, before you plan that vacation to Vegas to see the bright lights, before you decide to move to a better location because the grass is greener, you might want to consider the things that you cannot see. Okay? Lot's decision seemed like a good one for him at the time. Maybe some of us here have been offered a better job. Maybe it'll require us to go to parties where there's alcohol. Maybe it'll require us to do things that a Christian shouldn't do. Right? Let me just say this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Dress standards, don't do it. Laying out of church, don't do it. Make sure you pray about it first. Make sure that you pray, you seek the answers in prayer through the Word of God, and don't do something that you're going to regret down the road. Don't do something you'll be sorry for today or tomorrow. Compromise doesn't happen all at once. It starts out small. Look there in Genesis chapter 13. In verse number 12. In Genesis chapter 13, in verse number 12, the Bible says here, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now there is no point in time where we see Lot praying to God, where we see Lot having a walk with God. Lot is not pleading for the souls of Sodom. Abraham prayed, but not Lot. We know of a man by the name of David. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? But David messed up a lot. He sinned a lot. He sinned. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But in Psalm chapter 51, he gets right with that, with God. And with his sin with Bathsheba and murder. And he says these words in Psalm 51:1, he says, have mercy on me. In verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly. He says, against thee have I sinned. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Over and over in Psalm 51, we see a man who got right with the Lord. We see a man who sinned, but yes, we also see a man who knew how to get right with the Lord. Lot was not that man. Lot was that carnal man, that lived for himself. Now, many of us here today, we might say, yeah, my life is a shipwreck. And we wonder why. Why is that? Well, it's because our priorities are out of line. If God is not number one in your life, our life is going to be a mess. We can look at Lot and we could see how that would play out. God is not number one. Our life will be a mess. It will be a shipwreck. God must come first in everything. You see, today we have people seeking a substitute for the Lord and fellowship with the Lord in things. We want to be entertained. Everywhere we go, we want to be entertained. There was a news article. I didn't open it and read it, but it said this. It said, how to entertain your kids when they're sick. Something like that. I was like, what? They're sick. Go to bed. Right? Get better. Right? But that's what this world is all about now. It's about being entertained. Everywhere you go, we got to entertain you. Right? That's why we carry a phone around, and so we can be entertained, right? And so that entertainment comes over in the church, and we all, I got to be entertained in the church, and that's why you have all these false churches out there who turn the lights off and bring smoke in and get the Jimmy Joe rock band up here and just start rocking it out. Look, they're in the Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit in the book, okay? Hey, listen, what I'm saying is too many people searching for entertainment today instead of just seeking fellowship with the Lord. Just seeking fellowship with the Lord. If you would, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I want you to see here Elijah. Here we know Elijah is a mighty man of God. God used him in a great way. But I want you to see this about seeking fellowship in things where God is not. 1 Kings chapter 19. Look there in verse number 11. 11 and 12. 1 Kings 19:11 says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, get that right there, a still, small voice. Hey, you're not going to find the Lord in all that entertainment things. You got to get in the Word right here. You got to get in the Word. You got to get in your prayer closet. You got to seek the Lord right here in His Word. You want fellowship? You want real fellowship? Right here with the Lord. You want to walk with the Lord? It's right here. You got to seek Him in the Word and through prayer. That's the only way you're going to find Him. You're not going to find Him in all these things that the devil has control of, that is keeping your mind occupied so you won't get into the Bible. Right? That's what the devil does. He wants to keep you entertained. He wants to keep you on things, on money, on having fun so much that you'll neglect the Word of God. And one day you take your last breath and it's too late. You go off into eternity. I want to got to move on here. Number three, I want you to see here. I want you to see it cost Lot his family. So if we could turn over to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and look there in verse number 8. It cost him his family as well. In Genesis chapter 19, in verse number 8, he says here, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Can you believe what this guy did? He's offering up his own daughters to this mob of men pounding at the door for them to do whatever they want to his own daughters. This has got to be the saddest part of it all. Lot had become so consumed with himself, he's not even thinking about his family. No doubt these men would have killed his daughter. They would have. But you know, we look at Lot and you see that didn't seem to bother him. We see Lot here and we see there's no record of Lot leading his family in spiritual matters. None whatsoever. We don't see Lot leading in family devotions. We don't see Lot leading in prayer. Hey, we don't see Lot going to church. We don't see Lot fellowshipping with other people. We don't find Lot here saying like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen, men, as for me and my house, it's on you. Men, it's on us to lead our family. Men, it's on you to lead your family in spiritual things. You get that? Men, you will give an account for spiritual things and how you led your family. Men, your wife shouldn't be dragging you to church. Men, your wife shouldn't be dragging you to Sunday school. Men, you should be bringing your wives. You should be teaching them. You should. Hey, men, it's great you come to soul winning, but don't leave your wives at home. They need to be out soul winning on Saturdays as well. Right? The men are responsible for the house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are going to give an account one day on how we led our house. We got to get it right. It's time. Hey, time to put the big boy pants on, right? Time to put them on. Look there in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14. He says here in Genesis 19:14, it says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." You see, Lot had no testimony with his family. He never led his family. And so when the time came, hey, God's going to destroy this place, all his family said, hey, laughed at him. "Who are you to talk to me about God? You have no walk with God. Get out of here," right? You see, the thing is Lot had 10 family members. If he would have been able to lead them to the Lord, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. God said, "If there's 10, I will not destroy that area." We've got to move on here. In verse 24 and 25, it says here, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities. and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Hey, we know Lot lost everything in Sodom. When it burned and it went down and was destroyed, his wife even looks back. And we get a warning not to look back. Not to look back at what God has brought us out of. Not to look back at those sins that have been forgiven. Hey, come out from among them and be ye separate. And lastly here, I have here, it cost him his honor. In the rest of the chapter there in Genesis 19 and verses 30 through 36, you're going to see here, let me read here, Genesis chapter 19 and verses 31, and it says, "And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." You see, Lot and his two daughters are only ones that escaped. They went into this cave, and you see what happens, right? Lot is going to father a child with his two daughters. And see, I just think about that. I just like, how did that happen? Why? Because Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He looked at all of the wickedness that was going on in Sodom. He moved into Sodom. His family was of Sodom. They took all that in. They took in all those Hollywood movies of wickedness and evil. Okay, they took all that in with their eyes. And Jeremiah 8:12 says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Neither could they blush." You see, Lot's two daughters here become with child from their father, and they don't even blush. They justify. They said that we may preserve seed of our father. One thing we need to remember as parents, what we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. They'll take it to the next level. Right? No doubt Lot's children looked at everything going on in Sodom in those times, in those days, and they took it on. And so I got to finish here, but I want to finish with this. I got four quick lessons on Lot. Number one, you've got to seek the Lord in all decisions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Whatever decision you come upon, we got to seek the Lord in it. Seek the Lord in it. Seek the Lord in it. Don't quit praying till you have an answer. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Okay? Secondly, you must separate from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Right? We got to separate it. Even the smallest compromise will lead to destruction. Just make like Joseph and run. Hey, third thing here, men, we got to be the spiritual leaders, right? I mentioned it already, but men, we've got to be the spiritual leader of our house. Lead your family in righteousness, and here's the key. Do not let the world dictate how you run your house. Do not let Fox News, CNN News, any of those things dictate how you run your house. Only use the Word of God. And the fourth thing here, the reminder in the Bible was, do not look back. Right? Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Once we have forgiveness of those sins, leave it in the past. Leave it in the past. Leave it in the past. Hey, the cost of a selfish decision. Hey, there's a lot more to it we can get into. Hey, but the first thing, the first bad decision you could make is to leave here and not knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you come forward and tell me you need to know how to get to heaven, I could take the Bible and show you how to get to heaven when you die. You say, "I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, preacher. I know it. Amen. Praise the Lord." But let me ask you this. Are you living for the Lord? Are you living in light of eternity? The very fact of the matter is this. We could be standing out in front of the Lord Jesus Christ before today ends. He could come back right now. We could take our last breath. But are we living life in light of eternity? Hey, the decision is yours. The Word of God is true. He's there for an example for us. But you got to make the decision. What decision will you make here today? Let's pray.